you. I want you to look again, if you would, this morning. Notice verse 28 of our text. And especially, I want you to notice what Solomon prays for at this, the dedication of the first temple. Verse 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Here's the prayer, here's the request, here's the supplication. Verse 29. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. Solomon said, Lord, my prayer is that as God, you will keep your eyes open and upon all that is said and done in this place. And of course, specifically, it is and was a place of prayer. Our Lord Jesus called it the Father's house to be a place, a house of prayer. Same chapter, I want you to look down at verse 52. That thine eyes, again, Solomon, Lord, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. Solomon is asking again for God to what? To keep watch, to keep his eyes open to his people. And that brings me then to God's response, God's answer to Solomon's request. And that's given in chapter 9. Look at it with me, would you? Verse 1. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do. Verse 3. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And here it is, mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I want to speak this morning on the subject MOS. MOS. You know, one of the things that parents have to contend with these days is this whole dynamic now of cell phones and texting with their children. Most young people today have their own cell phone, their own smartphone, and of course that has presented all kinds of access and freedom and vulnerability to the young people. Texting involves its own language of sorts, and especially with abbreviations, as you all know. BTW, by the way, LOL, laughing out loud, which is really kind of a lie because they're not really usually laughing out loud when they text that, nor are they really ROFL, rolling on the floor. Haven't seen that yet when they text that as well. And then there's NOYB, none of your business. VGB, very big grin. OIC, which interestingly means O-I-C, LOL. Newbies had to be careful, though. We all know a certain woman who thought that LOL was an abbreviation for lots of love, and so she group texted a bunch of family members and said, Grandma suddenly passed away today, LOL. If you're a parent here today and you don't want your children to have a cell phone, you can tell them what I told them. I didn't get mine till I was, my first one until I was 35. They didn't come out until I was 36, I think, so tell them that if you want. But what's the title of this message? The title is MOS. It's text speak that means, some of you know, mom over shoulder. And obviously it is something that you send to your friends, or a teenager sends to their friend or someone when they want them to be discreet or explain why they're not answering back. MOS means mom's watching what I'm doing. Mom over shoulder. The question is, what if mom isn't over your shoulder? PAW, by the way, means parents are watching. PIR means parents in the room. PAL, parents are listening. All the parent texts are toxic for these young people, apparently, obviously. And of course, if there's no mom over your shoulder, there's no MOS or PIR or PAL, well, there's always this, GOS, God over your shoulder. Or GIW, God is watching. And what's good and glorious about this text today and in the eyes of God is that Solomon wanted it like that. Solomon prayed and Solomon asked for God to be watching. Thy servant prayeth, he said, that thine eyes may be open toward this house, what? Day and night. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word and for the blessing of it. Now, I pray our hearts will be still and open and sober to what the Spirit has to say to your church. Convict us, Father. Guide us. Give us wisdom and direction, please. In Jesus' precious name, amen. There are three things I want us to consider this morning concerning the watchfulness and what Solomon calls here the eyes of God. It is a very common theme throughout the Bible as God's omniscience is described with his eyes running to and fro throughout the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Father sees every sparrow, Jesus said, that falls to the ground. So the song says his eye is on the sparrow. So that whether mom is older over your shoulder or not, the God of your mom always is. And what that includes this morning are three distinct truths about the Christian life and in the context of what Solomon was praying for. God sees us, ladies and gentlemen, in at least three different places. For example, notice that, first of all, God sees us, number one, when we are faithful. Say, really, Pastor, when we're faithful? Look at verse 32 of our text. Then hear thou, of chapter 8, hear thou in heaven, and do. And judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. Now, folks, I want you I want all of us here to be reminded of something today that we're often easy to forget. There are two sides to this whole matter of God seeing, watching, his eyes are open to all that we say and do. There's the one side that we always hear about and I preach about and sing to our children when they're young. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. In other words, God sees. You better be careful. God sees the lies and the injustices and all of the sins of men. In fact, the very reason why we as Christians are admonished over and over and over again not to envy the wicked, not to fret ourselves over evildoers, is that God, the perfect judge, sees it all. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. Nobody can hide their evil from God. Not them, not us. And again, that's the truth that we often hear about and talk about with God's omniscience. But folks, that's only one reality. Solomon is asking God's eyes to be open and to watch what his people do in his house. Solomon says in verse 32, give unto the righteous according to their righteousness. In other words, yes, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And yes, it says in that verse, they run to and fro to behold the evil, but it also says to behold the good and the evil. Let me remind you what our Lord Jesus said about praying and giving in Matthew 6. Jesus said that when you give and you give your alms and your offerings, do it in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he sees it, the Bible says, he shall reward thee publicly. When you pray in secret, Jesus said, the Father who sees in secret, his eyes are open, he said, he shall reward thee openly. That's what Jesus said. Now, you think about that for a moment. God wants you and I to know that when you do right, when you obey his word, when you are faithful in things that maybe nobody knows about, nobody sees or recognizes that gift or that prayer. Or that kindness, or that witness, or that practice, or that courage, or that persecution, or that stand, or love, or study. Nobody ever sees that sacrifice. Mom wasn't over your shoulder when you were texting Bible verses or words of faith in God, but God was. You say, Pastor, what teenager ever texts Bible verses? Well, the one that God saw, if and when they did. You know, it's a funny thing. When our children are little and they do something praiseworthy or good, it's then they want mom to be over their shoulder. Mommy, look at me. Mommy, look, watch this. Look what I'm going to do, or look what I did, right? They're about to dive off the diving board in the pool. They're about to throw a ball or sing a song or balance on the beam or paint a picture or do a cartwheel. Children naturally seek affirmation and approval for doing well. And, of course, what you don't ever see is a little child say, Mommy, watch me kick the baby. Mommy, look, I'm going to steal a cookie before dinner. Watch. Daddy, watch. I'm going to set the garage on fire. I never told my dad to watch me do that. Children want to be seen. They want to witness when they do something good or right or virtuous. And what God has always said in His Word is you never have to ask Him to notice your obedience. A single cup of water, Jesus said, given in His name, is noticed, take noted of, and observed by God in eternity. Say, boy, Pastor, that's encouraging. That's a blessing to know that God always sees and acknowledges the virtues and efforts and deeds of a child of God. You know what? It is encouraging, but it's only really encouraging if you actually did the deed. God is over your shoulder, and it's a blessing to know that if you're faithful, He sees it. But it's only a blessing, ladies and gentlemen, if you're actually faithful. If you actually prayed in secret, you gave to that need. You really did take a stand, and nobody else saw it. Your act of kindness or forgiveness or mercy or sacrifice or service, God sees it, beloved, but He only sees it when you actually do it. You know, on our dollar bill, there's an eye, the all-seeing eye there in the pyramid, and the Latin words, annuit captus, that means God has favored our labors. He saw the labors. And you know what? In the early days of our country, there were a lot of labors to see. But there has to be labors. O Lord God, Solomon said, hearken to my cry and my prayer. Make your eyes to be open toward this place, both day and night. And so we said, number one, He sees us when we're faithful. So you know what I say, beloved? Let's all be more faithful. He sees us when we're in church. He sees us when we give. It doesn't matter if the pastor sees it. God's over your shoulder. He sees it when you say a kind word, a word in season to him that is weary. God sees it when you do the right thing and you had a choice or temptation to do the wrong thing. The second thing I want you to consider is at number two, He sees us when we're fearful. Same chapter, look at verse 33. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again to the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Now, wait a minute. Why does Solomon, look at verse 33. Why does Solomon mention the people of God being, quote, smitten down by their own enemies? Why at this joyous occasion, folks, this victory celebration with a cloud of God's glory and the ark and the musicians, why here does Solomon bring up the nation's, quote, enemies? Well, folks, because this nation had enemies. God's people were hated in and around the world. And you know, all that this work of God was going to do was really make the nations hate them even more. You do realize that the very day that this temple was dedicated with its magnificent cedar beams and tons of gold and glorious columns, that all of that, this brand spanking new billion-dollar edifice, on that day, that very day, already had an expiration date. It doesn't stand to this day. Because all of it was going to be destroyed. All of it was going to be leveled to the ground by murderous invaders. So that when Solomon acknowledged God's eyes and that they were open, that God was watching this temple day and night, he was reminding us that when God's people were attacked, when God's people are suffering, chastened, fearful, just as surely as he is over your shoulder when the building is dedicated, he is also over your shoulder when the building is destroyed. Let me ask you a question. You ever heard the name Jeremiah? How about Ezekiel? I've had a lot of people say, Pastor, my favorite book in the Bible is Jeremiah. You know why that's in the Bible? And Ezekiel? How about Zechariah? And Nahum? Habakkuk? Zephaniah? And then there's Joel and Malachi and Daniel and Haggai. Why have you heard of all of these men and their amazing, amazing books? Do you realize that all of these men and all of their prophecies are because before, during, and after the destruction of this very temple, God was watching? That's the record of God's eyes noticing and watching exactly what Solomon prayed for. Every word of Jeremiah and Ezekiel is a reminder that God answered Solomon's prayers. He watched when they were fearful. Pastor, I wish we had prophecies and promises and warnings like that. I wish we had assurances and divine direction when, after things like Pearl Harbor or 9/11 or whatever else comes up to us next on the horizon. I wish we had a prophecy like that. Well, God gave us, ladies and gentlemen, a prophecy exactly like that. Even better than that, we have the whole counsel of God. Every promise, every prophecy in this infallible book, God says, was written down and preserved for our learning and our admonition, including the single most oft-repeated command in all of the Bible, two words, fear not. Nothing's commanded more in the Bible to His own people than the words, fear not or do not be afraid. So you know what? The next time you're afraid and doubtful because you might lose your job or your house or because of a test result or a news headline or an attack by Satan, if you're going to send a text, send this one, GOS, God over my shoulder. He sees. He knows. Remember 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord, we quoted a moment ago. This corollary passage says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Everybody. Why? Here's what the rest of the verse says, to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. In other words, folks, God's eyes aren't just looking to see what you're up to. God is also looking to see what you're up against. And God's not just looking at you, ladies and gentlemen. If you're His child, God's looking out for you. Psalm 33:18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Why? To deliver their soul from death. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and so His ears are open unto their cry. Pastor, I'm afraid. I'm really worried. I'm scared about something that's on the horizon for me or something that I'm now in the midst of. Well, you're in very good company. Do you realize that every servant, nearly every prophet of God in the Bible was afraid at one point or another? And in fact, that's the reason why fear not is the most repeated command, because it's the most repeated thing we do. We're afraid. Everyone has fear. You know, those of you who have iPhones, you ever notice how when you delete an app, all the apps start shaking, those icons? That's because they're afraid they're going to be kicked off the team, amen? I go to the delete mode just so I can see Fish Rules shaking in its boots, amen? The Beacon app shakes when you're doing that, but the Sermon app never does, amen? That one just... Zechariah 2:8. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of God's eye. What does that mean? That means that God is watching. In Psalm chapter 11, David asks a very powerful, very timely question when he says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, folks, that verse is for us. If ever there was a text of Scripture that applies to a people in a society at a certain time in history, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? It's a great question. What are the righteous supposed to do when the very foundation of their faith and their morals, their society is being attacked and destroyed by the wicked? What can the righteous do? When after 7 years of hope and change, what we have left now is people don't even know which restroom to use anymore. What do you do? Well, here's the answer in the Bible. Because the very next verse in Psalm 11 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. His eyes behold and His eyelids try the children of men. In other words, you don't fret to the point of despair because of evildoers. God's eyes see everything and His eyes are evaluating the wicked who bend their bow to privily shoot at the upright of heart. God is looking out for the righteous. And by the way, When it says, as we noted before, when it says his eyelids try the children of men, that means that God metaphorically is squinting, if you will, as an angry father looking for a snake in his child's room. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of men. I don't know what evil of men or women that you're worried about today. I certainly hope no evil that you're involved in today. I don't know what wicked person or outfit or group is after you, or that you're fretting about, or that seems to be prospering and you're fretting about that in itself. But I know this, God sees it. I know that God knows all about it. And I know that as the judge of all the earth shall do right, and he's taking care of it. And let me say, by the way, he's doing it in his own time. God's eyes are looking out on the behalf of his own. The only time in the Bible that God's eyes are described is in Revelation 1:14 and Revelation 2:18. The only time that they're described. And in both of those texts, it says that God's eyes are as a flame of fire. Why fire, Pastor? Because fire judges. G-O-S, God over your shoulder, yes. We said, number one, he sees us when we're faithful. Number two, he sees us when we're fearful. And then number three, you'll notice he also sees us when we're forgetful. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there's a little phrase in Solomon's prayer that he repeats over and over and over again. If I said this during a prayer, or if you said this publicly in a prayer, someone would think that you've forgotten that the record got stuck, but not in this case. What is that phrase? You'll notice at the very end of verse 30, he says, "Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive." Well, look at the first line of verse 32. "Then hear thou in heaven." Verse 34. "Then hear thou in heaven." Verse 36. "Then hear thou in heaven." Verse 39. "Then hear thou in heaven." Verse 43, verse 45, verse 49, verse 52, and so it goes. You see, Pastor, why? Why this constant repetition? It's very simple. Go home this afternoon and read every single instance, read the verse before, every single time he says that, and you will find that always that line follows a situation where God's people forgot his word and his warnings, and they went off into pleasure and foolishness. They forgot, they fell, and then Solomon said, "When they seek forgiveness in this place, hear them." Lord, open your eyes to this place. So that when you see it, hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin and the sins of thy people. And as we noted, our Lord answered Solomon's prayer in chapter 9. When he said, "Solomon, I have heard your supplication. Mine eyes and my heart shall be in this place in perpetuity." In other words, God is always watching. His eyes are always open to forgive a repentant heart. In Isaiah 49, God asks a very powerful question. He says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" That's a good question. God said, "Can a mother forget a nursing child 2 years later, 5 years, 10 years later? That a mother would not have compassion on the son of her own womb. Can she?" Well, maybe you can think of one, and so this is what God says. He says in Isaiah 49:15, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." God holds up this comparison. You take a mother's love to their nursing child, will they ever forget and have compassion on that one? And he says, maybe you can think of one. But I want you to know that if they ever do, I will never forget. God always sees us when we forget and testifies that he will not forget. The question is, will you return to him? In fact, that's the statement Solomon makes over and over and over again. Lord, open your eyes in this place so that when people walk in the doors and they seek your face because they forgot you, they seek your face because they've been living in sin, they come and they repent and they call upon you. Open your eyes. MOS. Moms are good at being over the shoulder. Some of the kids in here think too good, but they're good at it. But our God, who sees our every step, is a very present help in time of trouble. And you know what? He deserves all of our trust. He deserves all of our love, our heart, our mind, and our soul. He sees. He sees what I don't see. Young people, he sees what your parents don't see. He sees what your friends don't see. He sees what your spouse doesn't see. He sees everything. He sees through his holy eyes. And for those who come to him, it is a great comfort. For those who serve him faithfully, though no one else sees their good works and their service and their gifts and their faithfulness, he sees it. That's a comfort. But to those who are playing games, those who are not true, those who are living in sin, it is not a comfort. It is a call to repentance. And it is a warning. Our Heavenly Father, today we want to thank you and we want to praise you, Father, for being omniscient. We know that behind your omnipotence, that you are all-powerful, is this glorious truth that you are all-knowing. And if you were not a God full of mercy and long-suffering, if your mercies were not new every day, your omniscience would terrify all of us for every moment, but we thank you. And I pray that the goodness of God, your goodness, will lead us to repentance. You are worthy of our love and our heart, all of our soul and mind and strength, and I pray you will get it. Bless your people to that end, Father, thank you. That no matter what happens in the world and where it happens, you already see it. And we can trust you to that end. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.